Almost Happy New Year. It's a very strange year this year. At Christmas, it seems compressed. Today could be the first Sunday after Christmas. That's what normally we would celebrate today. But if we don't celebrate Epiphany today, we miss it, because next Sunday is already the baptism of Jesus. So today we have Epiphany instead, and we've translated the day, which means we've moved it a little earlier than what it normally is. The nice thing about having Epiphany this close to Christmas is we get to the gifts sooner. Kind of matches, doesn't it, the bookends of the two weekends that we have this year. The gifts that the wise men bring of gold and frankincense and myrrh, the gifts that we have of gathering together with our families and friends over Christmas, and the gifts of a new year, the gift of the freshness of this new start that we will experience again tomorrow. And one of the things it seems to me that this always reminds me of is taking a pilgrimage of faith. The wise men, for instance, had studied for many, many long years, and they were looking for the Messiah. They were looking for this king who was to come. And they studied and they looked at their history and all of their faith and the background, and looked at every possible piece of evidence of science of their day, the constellations, the stars. I'm sure they consulted other intellectuals of their time. And they set out on this pilgrimage. They weren't sure, of course, if they would ever find this king. And their pilgrimage took years, the studies that took before they even started on the road. And yet they did something else besides study. They observed the world. They paid attention to what was going on around them and in countries distant and far from them. They watched what we would call now the news, whether it be fake or real, but they watched to see what was going on in their world and the disturbances in the constellations and in the politics. And when the time was right, when they felt that everything had lined up, the history, the science and the world, they set off on this pilgrimage. That is what we need to do in our faith. And that is that we always study and learn. In the pews, you'll find the new Christian education brochure for this coming year. Opportunities for us to gather and to learn not just from experts or from books or from whatever the way that we do that, a course, but from each other. And while we're learning, we must always refresh our faith. There's not much point to keeping the same faith that we had when we were 5 years old as when we were 50 years old or when we're 70 years old. My mother used to always say, if you're not changing and learning, then you're dead. She was rather blunt. And it was true, though. It's true. If we're not learning, if we're not changing, well, what are we doing? We might as well be fossilized, as I would say. And so that's our faith is like that. Our faith is meant to be a living thing, not just something we did once, we put it on the shelf, and we referred to it. And within that faith as well, we need to study our world, to know what's going on around us, to make it concrete and real for us and for others, for our church and for our community. Because that is what is needed, is a groundedness in our faith. And that's a pilgrimage itself. We never know where we're going to end up. If I knew now what I had thought I would learn and study, where we'd come to now, I never would have thought those two things would be related. But it's a wonderful journey, and we must stay on that journey. The wise men in their pilgrimage also do something that is quite humbling. I'm sure it must have been incredibly humbling for them. They stopped and asked for directions. The last thing anyone wants to do is to have to ask for directions. We all think that we should know where we're going. And these guys were scholars. They were brilliant men. They had studied for years. Imagine how humiliating it must have been to stop and ask for directions. That is something that one must really be taken aback by, must really appreciate them even more. that with all of their finery, with their camels, with all of their gold and frankincense and myrrh, and who knows whatever gifts, they, other things they had with them, to stop and ask King Herod, of all people, where they might find this child. For us, on our journey of faith, our pilgrimage, we must stop too and ask for directions. If we don't, I'm sure you've all had the experience where you are told some directions instead. And that's not nearly as pleasant an experience as it is to actually choose the time and the person that you might ask for help from. But it's really important that we stop, that we pause, that we check in with people, that we find out as a community and as individuals if we're going in the right direction. This morning, I woke up for some reason in the middle of the night, and for some stupid reason, I looked at my phone. But there was a lovely message from a friend that I studied at Vancouver School of Theology with. Dave, in those days, was studying to be a Presbyterian minister. He's now a United Church minister, but that's a longer story. And he had sent me a message in the middle of the night. Well, for me, it was middle of the night, not for him. It was earlier. He lives out west. Saying, remember all those great times we had, all those conversations we had late into the night where we debated whether it was better to be a Presbyterian or an Anglican? Whether infant baptism or full immersion was the way to go? Whether communion should be four times a year or every Sunday, in little cups or one big chalice? And he talked about all the things we did over those 4 years where we lived next door to each other. And he said, I don't think I ever stopped and thanked you for being such a fine friend. So there I was in the middle of the night, struck by him stopping at this point, 25 years later, and just checking in with me. And in some way, asking for a direction. Like, are we still friends? I hope so, because I never thanked you. So I wrote back and said, of course, thank you. I don't think I ever thanked you either. I said, but how amazing that we only reconnected a few years ago. How amazing that we should both stop and thank each other now for the direction we gave each other. Clearly something worked on the Anglican Presbyterian thing because he's now united. But anyway, I haven't shifted. So stopping and asking for directions can be humbling, and it can be a great gift as well for us on our pilgrimage. The wise men also remained vigilant and attentive to see if things might have changed or if they needed new vision or insight. So there they were, off to see Jesus, and they got there, and it brought them great joy. Probably the greatest joy of their lives to that point, to find this child that they searched for. And gave their gifts of gold and frankincense of myrrh, and then were supposed to go back to Herod. But they had a dream. They had a dream that told them to return home a different way. And so they listened to that dream. Often we don't stop and listen to our dreams, listen to other things that aren't within what might be considered normal, to listen to other insights that come our way. But the wise men did, and that, of course, saved the life of Jesus and his family. So we, too, must remain vigilant and attentive to further vision and further insights about how our life might be different from this point on. That's part of a pilgrimage of faith, is to keep paying attention. Diana Butler Bass, in one of her recent books, talked about how the church used to act in such a way that you had to believe first, and then once you believed, you had to behave in a certain manner, and then once you behaved long enough in that manner, then you were actually a belonging member of the church. And when I think of my own growing up, that's exactly right. I had to believe and recite the creed. Some of you probably learned all those things too. Not that that's a bad thing. And then I had to behave in a certain way. That was very clear. And once that all happened, I could finally receive communion as a teenager and belong. And Diana talks about how we need to flip that. And that's about remaining vigilant and looking for further vision and insight. To flip it, to reverse it. That when people come in the church door, they need to belong right away. That's what people are looking for, is to belong. And then, once they belong for a while, they may come to believe. that there's something bigger than them, something bigger than just our own individual lives, something greater, that there's a purpose in all of it. And once they have done that for a while, then they probably change their life. They'll start to behave differently. And so it's a complete reversal of how the church has operated for centuries. Instead, we belong first, then we believe, and then we probably will behave in a way that's different. And that's what the wise men, their wisdom, teaches us today. You see, they returned home by a different way. They were changed, not just by seeing Jesus, but by their whole journey. And that's what a good pilgrimage does. That's what a good life of faith does, is it changes us. We don't go back to who we were before. We can't go back. And we have become something new, and we have something new to offer the world. I'm calling this 2018 the year of pilgrimages because tomorrow Gordon is going on sabbatical. Clearly a sign. He had a flat tire on the way to church this morning, so clearly needs to go on sabbatical. And later in the year, I'll go on pilgrimage. I'll go on sabbatical as well for a few months. So for us, for Gordon and I, it is a year in which we get to take that time, and we thank you for that, to be able to see where our life is taking us, to perhaps believe and belong and behave in different ways and in more refreshed ways when we get back. So I wish all of you a happy 2018, but more importantly than that, a year of pilgrimage, a year whenever you will be able to be changed in your faith and strengthened for the times ahead. Amen.